If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, isn't what it used to be, isn't what it used to be. If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, spend it on Campbell's soup.
Do you realize a dollar will still buy you more than 20 servings of Campbell's tomato soup? Yep, rich, flavorful Campbell's tomato soup. Less than 5 cents a bowl and good.
If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, spend it on Campbell's soup.
Hello, California, and a good morning of good food. Compliments of Mike Roy and Dennis Bracken. It's the Saturday session of the Mike Roy Show, and the chances are, big fella, you're going to take us on a restaurant roundup, huh?
Not so much a restaurant roundup. I have appointed for this restaurant an ambassador.
Well,
a bunch of sports-minded fellas in this town, Bob Reynolds of KMPC and the Los Angeles Angels, and Pete Rozelle, who's the commissioner of the Football League, Don Ross, who used to work here at KNX and is involved with sports, and Fred Schmidt, opened a new joint called Chili Ole out in the San Fernando Valley. And since it was a sporting type of thing, I thought we ought to have one of our sporting type fellas do the bit on it. So Jim Racer went out, and we'll get Jim's report on Chili Ole as one of the things.
An ambassador of the culinary arts.
And then we'll talk with a caterer who did the fine job at the Society Tobacco Set Epicurus last Wednesday night, and find out about him and his biggest party in which he served some 14,000 people. And we'll have a little dabble in philosophy, and that'll just about take care of the morning's work.
Well, in case even at this late hour, 23 minutes or so until high noon, there are a few of you out there that haven't managed to get the fog out of your eyes, wind up your breakfast carburetor, Mike.
Let's have some Arden Instant Breakfast as we begin. It's an idea for lunch, an idea for a between-meal snack or a bedtime snack, or for breakfast. Because Arden Instant Breakfast comes in six exciting flavors. Coffee, chocolate, strawberry, chocolate malt, vanilla, or eggnog. Richer flavors, too, and you like them because the price is right. They're a big help to mothers, so quick and easy to fix. Or the kids could fix them themselves. You just add Arden Instant Breakfast to milk and mix it. It's ready. Comes six individual packages in a box. It's an exciting new way to make milk a meal. And if you like a hot beverage, then add hot milk to it. Delicious with meals, or as a balanced meal in itself, or as a between-meal snack. You'll like Arden Instant Breakfast because it dissolves instantly and mixes easily, and contains the bodybuilding, energy-giving protein, minerals, and vitamins. An easy way to quick energy pickup for children and grown-ups, too. That's Arden Instant Breakfast, and it's at your store now.
Chili ole me, Mike.
Oh, let's let Jim Racer do it. I tell you, Jim jumped at the chance when I suggested there was a sport note involved here, so Jim, what about it, huh?
Well, Mike, it might seem as if I'm stepping out of my own bailiwick, covering a restaurant opening that you couldn't attend, but I think it's more or less down my alley when I explain that Chili Ole is a new type of restaurant located on the corner of Roscoe Boulevard and Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Canoga Park. And the proprietor, one of them, but the man who will be here most of the time is Don Ross, actually an ex-employee of CBS, an old friend of all of ours. And his partners are rather relevant when it comes to the sports field. Pete Rozelle, Bob Reynolds, Fred Schmidt. Don, where did this idea come from?
Well, Jim, we fooled around with the thing in our minds for a couple of years. And, you know, said, I guess maybe it goes back to the days when Mama used to have the chili pot going all Saturday afternoon in the coal country. And they sell tacos, and they sell pizza, and they sell chicken, and nobody was selling chili. So we investigated and found out that there was hundreds of thousands of cases of canned chili sold every year. So we thought, well, maybe people would like it homemade.
Which brings up an interesting point and perhaps a correlation to the whole thing. I've seen national ads in magazines, and I'm not going to name the brand name because I can't really remember what it was, but this is the chili served on NFL training tables. Now, does the association you have with Pete Rozelle perhaps bring up the possibility that your chili will replace this brand?
We were asked that question once before, and maybe if ours doesn't work too well, we'll go to that brand. Maybe we can reverse it a little bit on you.
Now, let's talk about the decor of Chili Ole. It's a very attractive, almost a chalet type of architecture. Who designed the building?
A fellow by the name of Dick Stoddard designed the building, who also did Charlie Brown's, who was probably the best-known new restaurant in town, and another gentleman was involved by the name of Fred Schmidt, who's a food facility engineer who also was involved in the Charlie Brown's operation. What we tried to do with it is make it an early California hacienda look with a contemporary look to it. Chili really is not a Mexican dish. As far as anybody can tell, it originated in Texas, but people think of it as being Mexican, so we wanted that flavor. But as you can see, Jim, by looking around, that we are very contemporary. We don't have wrought iron and we don't have brass. We have cherry red fixtures and that type of thing.
Getting back to the sports angle, chili perhaps is the most competitive food in the United States. Everyone has his own recipe. Sometimes I think there should be a national chili tournament, perhaps, with eliminations and qualifications and regionals, and this would be right down your alley because you love sports.
Well, there is a National Chili Society that was formed by a bunch of chili nuts, or chili heads as they call themselves, and a gentleman out of Texas is the chief chili head, and these goofs meet all over the country and talk about chili, and when you say competitive, it probably is because they can't agree, and they get in a lot of fights about whose chili is the best. So all you can do is try to put out chili that you hope that somebody likes, and you know darn well he's going to walk away and say, mine's better, or my wife can do it better, but this is the best I can find.
Well, now that Don Ross is one of these goofs, as you said, are you a member of the National Chili Association?
Yes, I am. And when I got into this thing, I went to a meeting of theirs, and they were kind enough to allow me to join. And the way you join is you have to like chili, and then you have to stand up and hold your right hand erect and crumble a cracker into your bowl of chili, and you're supposed to do that when you ever meet another member of the National Chili, the Chili Appreciation Society.
Now, when you belong to the National Chili Appreciation Society, is it necessary that the current membership test your chili, such as being a member of the Gentleman Chefs requires that you cook a full meal for the membership before you're admitted?
No, they're a little looser than that. I think it's probably an excuse for them to have a meeting someplace. But by testing it, they'll come out and test it and tell you how theirs is better than the one you're serving.
Okay, now we talked about Chili Ole from the structural standpoint of the restaurant, which is very beautiful, Mike, and you've got to come out here and see it. But let's talk about the chili itself. How long did it take to come up with your original recipe?
Well, I started with six recipes, one of which was Lyndon B. Johnson's Pertinalis River Chili and Mr. Dave Chasen's chili and Mama's Saturday Afternoon Homemade Chili and Might Have Been Your Chili, three others. And Don Paul, who is a good friend of both of ours and is in the restaurant business, was kind enough to allow me to use his kitchens. And I went out twice a week for about 4 months and cooked each recipe and refined it and put this one together and back together. So it's really a combination of a lot of chilies with the way I think it should be, and I guess that's the way you have to do it.
Tell me another thing, Don Ross. Have you always been a chili lover?
Well, when you say a chili lover, I'm not really that goofy about chili. I like it very much, but these other nuts, as I said, will drive, you know, they'll fly from Dallas to Los Angeles to try somebody's chili. So, yes, I like it.
On this special opening, you've invited a lot of people and some pretty well-known names, I might say, and they came from some distance in some cases to try your chili. I guess you're pretty proud of the fact they thought so much of your ingenuity and creative ability as far as putting together this dish.
Well, I think that they're just being good friends, Jim, like you coming out. You know, they were kind enough to come and try to help us get it off the ground.
We can name a few of them that we'd like. I see Buzzy Bavese's here.
Bavese.
Dr. Bob Kierlin, who's one of the best orthopedists around and a team doctor for the Dodgers. And I see Jim Hardy, the ex-Trojan quarterback. I don't see any Bruins. Where are they?
Well, I think Gary Beban will be here.
Well, Gary's a great chili eater. Yeah. He stirs up quite a pot every Saturday when he plays against someone.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the menu, Don. Just how varied is it? How many selections do we have a choice of?
Well, even though we specialize in chili, which I guess is the hook to get you in the place, we have one kind of chili, which we call chili ole, and then we have a chili caliente, which is really the same chili, just hotter. The guys that like to have their eyeballs rolled back can eat that one. And then we have chili and spaghetti, chili and tamales, which incidentally are homemade by our Mexican chef. We've got four hamburgers, different kinds. We've got hamburger specialties. We've got steak sandwich. We've even got steamed clams and fresh corn on the cob on Friday. And that has nothing to do with chili, but I happen to like steamed clams and fresh corn on the cob.
Tell us a little about the chef.
Well, the chef is, as I say, is a Mexican fellow that was a friend of a friend of mine, and we got involved in this thing, asked him to come over, and he's been very helpful in putting it together.
Does the chef concur with the owner's choice as far as the chili recipe?
If you could have heard us this afternoon, you would have said no, as we were yelling at each other on how it should be done.
We're sitting in the main dining room here at Chili Ole, the only dining room, but as I look at the counter where we pick up the food, it seems to me that you will have takeout orders also.
Yes, we will. It's a self-service operation, but we also will have takeout orders, and incidentally, we also have Carta Blanca beer on draft. I used the name on the air because we felt that that this brand of beer would best suit our decor, and we're serving it in a bucket that we had made. It's a 20-ounce aluminum bucket, much like the old growler that in the 1890s that Dad used to send his kid down to the local saloon and bring a bucket of beer home. And we will chill the bucket, and you'll drink right out of that bucket with a little bale on it, and you carry it by the handle.
When we talk about chili and chili caliente, the hot type of chili, and talk about Carta Blanca beer, do we have any guarantee against heartburn?
No, but if you were worried about heartburn, you wouldn't come to eat chili in the first place.
That's a very good answer. Don, this is the first Chili Ole. Are there plans for more?
Yes, there are. You have to get this one right, how long it will take us. If we're successful, yes, we plan on building many more of them.
Well, Don, it's a unique type of establishment, one of the nicest I've seen of its type. I have yet to try the chili, but I'm going to. I suggest Mike Roy, listening to us right now, gets out here immediately and gives the KNX cooking stamp of approval to Chili Ole. As far as the KNX Sports Department is concerned, it has our stamp of approval. And Don Ross, many thanks for spending a few moments on a busy evening with us. And best of luck to you and Chili Ole.
Thank you very much, Jim. And we'd like Mike to come out. And I'm sure he has a chili recipe, so let's fight about whose chili is the best.
And I've got to do that real fast, Daddy. Our thanks to Jim Racer for covering the opening of Chili Ole, a real sporting event. You have to be
yes.
a sport to go after the chili.
Yes, know. And that growler, too, 20 ounce, a bucket of suds, that's really
that's
something.
That's something. It ought to be a fun sport.
Got one question to ask of you, Mike. Are you a chili lover?
I have been known to have a moment or two, reinforced with a little salami.
Somebody once asked, why do you call them Wilno kosher meat products? What's the difference? The difference is in the making, and that makes all the difference. For every Wilno meat product, we use the traditional recipes made according to the strict dietary laws. Nothing but pure, lean beef. Fresh ground, family-type seasonings. If you like the taste of home-baked bread or homemade soups, then I think you'll like our Wilno meat products. Everything we make tastes like old-fashioned homemade. Wilno kosher bologna, Wilno kosher frankfurters, Wilno kosher knackwurst, Wilno kosher cocktail franks, and Wilno kosher salami. Made fresh daily by our family. We hope you like them.
Delicious Wilno kosher meat products are specially featured this week in your favorite supermarket, delicatessen, or wherever quality foods are sold.
The time's 11 minutes until high noon. On the hour, the noon hour news, the swap at 12:30, and then an afternoon of football. And what do you think, Mike? Shall we spray the halfback and the quarterback and the fullback with a little Pam and have them just ease their way right
That's
through
right,
the line?
That's right. They'll ease right through. Nobody can tackle them whatsoever because Pam just kind of smooths the way. Pam is a great trade name, and it sounds like a thing more than a product. But really, Pam, I guess, is something that once you use it, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. This is a pure vegetable spray-on coating that stops food from sticking, and Pam adds no fat, no calories. Now, you spray Pam on any utensils, muffin tins, frying pans, waffle irons, casseroles, baking pans, any cookware. Put it on your barbecue grill. You'll find that the foods won't stick and they clean up in a breeze. Now, you take the gelatin molds, for instance. Spray them first with Pam, and then at serving time, the gelatin mold slips out quick as a wink. Now, when you cut up marshmallows and dates in a mold, and that's a pretty sticky chore, you know, but if you spray your scissors first with Pam, nothing to it. You can even spray your fingers with Pam to keep the berries from staining them. So try Pam. Once you do, you'll never want to be without it. And you'll find Pam at your favorite food store.
Well, how about yourself, big fella? Did you employ ambassadors for the whole show, or have you been out among them?
Oh, I've been out among them. Last Wednesday night, we went out to 20th Century Fox to the set of Peyton Place for a meeting of the Society de Bacchuset Epicurus. Mm-hmm. And they set the table up outdoors. It was a lovely evening. And we enjoyed a real New England Peyton Place type of clam bake with oysters on the half shell, fish chowder, swordfish, lobster, cranberry sherbet, salad, Cornish game hen, and a lovely dessert with suitable wines, a Palomino Sherry from Cresta Blanca, Almaden Chablis, Christian Brothers Pinot Chardonnay, Inglenook's Gamay, and crackling rosé from Paul Masson.
Did they bring the clams in from the East Coast?
They brought the clams, and the whole thing all came from back east. And the man who catered it is Ralph Green, who's quite a caterer because he goes all over the world catering motion picture companies. Mm-hmm. And I talked with Ralph about it, and I cited the fact the logistics must have been horrendous. And how did you go about doing it?
Well, let me tell you something. This here's something. Go ahead. You figure out what your menu is first. Start from there. How long is it going to take you and where you're going to get it?
Well, here where you start with the oysters on the half shell, that wouldn't be a problem. But then you come up with one of the great fish chowders. Everybody talking about you think a soup's a simple thing. But this is a lovely soup.
Let me tell you something. This is something you have to have the right kind of people to prepare it. You have the right kind of... That's the most expensive people you can get hold of.
Then, of course, you get a course like the swordfish, and talking with the people here in the society that ate the swordfish tonight say it's the best swordfish they've ever eaten. Some of them say it's even better than the lobster, and the lobster was great. And the corn on the cob for this many people.
Well, this cob, the corn on the cob was picked out specially. Lobsters were flown in here from Maine. Everything about it. It just takes a planning. It takes an organization.
Of course, that's what you're noted for. You primarily cater movie companies, don't you?
This is right. We go all over the United States. Tahiti, Honolulu, Mexico City, any place.
You have these trucks there. Whose brainchild are they?
Well, I've been working on these for a long time. It's working out very nicely.
How many do you have?
45 trucks now.
And are they all complete like this one?
No, we have about 20 just like this, all together.
What all's in those, Ralph?
A complete kitchen, just like you'd have in your own large nightclub or restaurant.
Walk-in boxes and
walk-in
freezers.
Refrigeration, complete freezers, stoves, coffee makers, your pantry, your ice boxes for the pantry. Complete.
The whole thing is there. What happens when you get out in the hinterlands, out in the desert, or get to Tahiti? Do you buy raw product on the open market over there?
This is right. We have our purveyors. We do business with purveyors all over the United States and wherever we might be. We're over in Tahiti. We do business with the Matson liners. They bring it in to us twice or three times a week. As the liners come in, they bring our merchandise for them.
Again, planning.
That's right. This is right. A little bit ahead of time.
Do you do any private party catering?
Oh, yes, we do. It's the best in the world.
And are you in the phone book? Or?
Yes, sir, we are. We're in the Yellow Pages, any phone book you might look at.
What's been the biggest party you've ever catered, Ralph?
14,000 people.
That's what do they eat?
We had a complete meal, a complete picnic meal for the Aerojet Corporation. Roast sirloin of beef, au gratin potatoes, string beans almondine, Caesar salad, individual pies, baked in our own kitchens, rolls and butter, ice cream. you mentioned we have it. Coffee, iced tea, coffee, lemonade, punch, anything you might want.
Now, when in doing the movie companies where you have such a variety of people, to say nothing of food, where you have the stars on one hand and the grips and gaffers on the other and all this type of thing, do you find persnickety appetites?
Oh, you betcha. It's getting more and more high class all the time. People getting more hungry, more exacting.
Do you hire local help to help you, or do you send your own chefs?
We send our own cooks, key people. Uh-huh. Then we pick up local people to help us, break them in from there.
I don't know, do you work under union conditions?
Completely. We work under the motion picture producer's contract.
I see. And how long is your day with a company like this?
24 hours a day.
It really starts out that early.
Huh? That's right. We never close. We haven't closed our shop in 3 months. Night and day.
Well, a dinner like tonight, then your own chef's taken and do this fine preparation?
This is right. We start right from scratch.
That's Ralph Green of Ralph Green Caterers. He says he's in the Yellow Pages, and he'll cater anything, any kind of a party, but he specializes in the motion picture field, and he does a great job. His food is wonderful. These trucks are really something, Denny. They're completely built in. They're walk-in refrigeration and freezer boxes, ranges and everything, and they're big truck and trailer combinations, really. And they're complete, and they'll go out on the desert, or as he says, to Tahiti or wherever, and they'll set up a kitchen and go to work.
Say, it was a big party. Did you get a chance to shake a leg, shuffle a little shoe leather, you know, maybe rock with Dorothy Malone?
Huh? Yes, I sat next to Dorothy Malone at the dinner, and the producer of Peyton Place. I kept, don't you think you ought to have a nice fellow walking through that set occasionally and so forth? I almost sold myself.
Stand up and let me see your Watusi here.
Vitapact is stirring up a lot of excitement with a refreshing offer. For only $1, you get a set of four tall drink spoons by International Silver. These sculptured stainless tall-handled teaspoons are the newest thing in iced drink stirrers, so send for yours today. You mail $1 plus the guarantee seal from any bottle of Vitapact orange juice blend to Vitapact Spoons Covina. Act quickly. You send your dollar and orange juice blend seal to Vitapact Spoons, Covina, California.
Mike, we have about a minute or so to put a little filling in the pie here.
I like to talk. I've had several things on my mind, and one is the association we have as human beings with food. Now, for instance, if you like rare steak, the reason could very well be that it's the strength of the bull that you're trying to incorporate.
Oh?
Sure. And many of us Americans, for instance, don't like to eat lamb. The reason for that is simply that the lamb is a lovable animal, but also meek. If we eat it, some of its cowardliness and sheep-like qualities might mysteriously become ours.
Where did these old wives' tales come from?
Oh, they've been built up by our food fads and fetishes, and I'd like to dwell at length on them, but we don't get a chance with our format the way it is to talk about some of these things. But now you go to Australia. There, the sheep are considered very manly and virile because they represent the backbone of the country's economy. Therefore, the Australians are not negatively disposed toward mutton. Cooking world is full of these old wives' tales. And let's have a cup of soup and then get into another one, huh?
If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, isn't what it used to be, isn't what it used to be. If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, spend it on Campbell's soup.
No ifs about it. A dollar still buys you 14 servings of Campbell's Vegetable Beef Soup. Lots of vegetables and lots of beef. About 7 cents a bowl and good.
If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, spend it on Campbell's Soup.
Carry on, big fella.
Well, now, going into these old wives' tales and superstitions, some of them have been handed down from generation to generation. For instance, they did a study at New Mexico State Teachers College. It showed that 59% of all the people there, including 32% of the teachers, believe that eating fish improved the mind. And old Indian lore tells us that rabbit meat makes us timid. And some people believe that the occasional eating of bitter herbs will placate the gods and diminish the bitterness of life. Now, the eating of distasteful foods take on a significance of a sacrifice if you want to get psychological about it. Now, we all have a greater or lesser degree of peculiar habits. We make conscious decisions concerning our diet, which result in these habits. We're moved to wonder about the quirks of the human mind. And being unable to explain these habits, we take recourse to heavy caliber words. We speak of food fads and food fanaticism. I tell you, one thing you can be sure of, beef is man's meat. I once knew a man who didn't like steak. Nothing ever happened to him.
Whatever your food, fad, or fetish, have a good day of good food, everybody.